Good morning. Good to see everybody here this morning. Nice to have a Sunday without snow or ice on the ground. Yeah, I'm ready for spring. I believe we're going to get where it lines out now. This morning, I want to talk about prayer. And again, what Jesus said about it. Prayer is very important to our walk with Christ. It's the way we communicate with Him and He communicates with us. Sometimes when you're praying, it does good to, after you say what you want to say, just kind of be quiet and listen for a while. Because very often God's going to answer one way or another. The text this morning is out of Matthew chapter 7. And I'll be reading verses 7 through 11. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Lord, you prayed that we would be sanctified by the truth. And I thank you for that prayer that you set us apart with your word. Help us to get out of this word today what you have for us. Lord, we pray for those who are sick among us, for those who may be in the hospital. We just ask your healing touch upon them. Anoint me, Lord, to bring your word to your people. And I ask all this in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. All right. Now, who's speaking here? Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened. Who is this? This is Jesus. So can we put our faith in this? Yeah. But sometimes when we approach him, it seems like we don't have all that much faith. And I think one of the biggest things that happened, we pray and we wonder, is this God's will? Now, I've heard some take these passages and run with them. Is it important that we pray the Word? Yeah. We need to pray the Word. Is it important that we pray in faith? Very important. Jesus here puts His Word out on the line, and He says, if you ask, it will be given to you. If you look for it, you will find. If you knock, the door will be open. All three of these imply a need on our part. That's why I call this today a way for a believer to pray. And these all imply that there's a need in our lives that we're asking God for. You know, God's promises are conditional. Some people don't like that. But I want to give you one out of Isaiah chapter 55. He said, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. I love this passage. There's two things that have to be met here, two conditions right off the bat. He says, seek or look for the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. You know, it's very dangerous, church, in church services. I've done it, and I know a lot of the people do it. The Spirit of God will begin to work on you about something, and you'll say, yeah, maybe tomorrow. especially salvation. Maybe the Spirit of God says, you need to go forward. You need to pray. You need to be baptized into Jesus Christ. Maybe another day. Maybe some other time. And God says, today is the day of salvation. You see, when the Spirit of God begins to press things on you, to Him they're important. And to Him, this is what you need to do. And if I can use my vernacular, He doesn't dig it when you say, maybe another time. The Scriptures say, God says, don't put it off. Now. I can see God, now is the day of salvation. Why do you think I'm talking to you about it? Well, Lord, but I'm going to put it off till another day. You may not have another day. Yeah. I've seen a lot of death on the ambulance, and the first thing that would come into my head, I wonder if they were ready. That's just the way I thought. I wonder if they were ready. First thing in my mind, I wonder if they were ready. I wonder if last Sunday maybe they were at church and the Holy Spirit said, now's the day of salvation, and they said, another time, Lord. When it's more convenient, I'll call on you. I got some things I need to straighten out, Lord. People tell me that. I got some stuff, man, I got to work out, then I'll come to church. Well, you may never get it worked out. Come to church. Bring your problem. We all got baggage. All of us here, we bring baggage into salvation. And this passage, we see some conditions that God places on prayer. He says, number one, look for me while you can find me. When you going to find him? When the Spirit's talking to you, God's there. That's what he's. I'm right here talking to you. How would you like it? If you come up and was talking to me, I went, turned around, walked off, and left you standing there. You say, hey, that's rude. But boy, we don't think anything doing it to the Holy Ghost. Well, God's merciful and compassionate. He sure is. Praise his name. But he said, you need to call on me while I'm here. Because see, that's why I'm nudging you. It's one of the longest miles I ever walked. They talk about the last mile, you know, the guys that are executed. One of the longest trips I ever made was from the back pew to the front. And you just swear everybody's looking at you. They're all looking at me. I was at a revival and the Spirit of God got a hold of me. And I thought, I'm already saved, man. You know, he's saying, you need to go forward. Yeah, but I'm already saved. You need to go forward. And I stepped out and went forward. And when I got there, four preachers hit me and said, oh, God, just work on Rick. I'm trying to be incognito. You know, when you go to the altar, I'm trying to be quiet and not interrupt service and pray. And yeah, okay, Lord, you call me up here. Now what's this about? And all of a sudden people are going, oh, let go, Rick. Hang on, Rick. Oh, God bless Rick. I said, now everybody here knows who's at the altar. You know, and they're like, oh. But you know, really, I didn't care. When I obeyed God, he started telling me why he wanted me to go to the altar. And it was a good reason, you know. He was saying, hey, you're holding out on me. You know, I'm calling you, and you're not giving me everything. You're holding back. And there was a particular thing at that time I was holding back. And you know what freaked me out? Freaked me out, that's another one. The evangelist got down and he said, you know, sometimes when we have this in our life, he spoke it out loud. And I went, I did. It's like, who you been talking to? And one of the preachers next to me said, I could tell he nailed you. He said, you should have seen your face, man. Bah. Now, this isn't bragging on me. This is an example. God said, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts and let him turn to me. Do you know that it's wickedness when we rebel against God? We don't think so. God, wickedness is them people that's out there riding motorcycles and smoking marijuana and getting drunk and going to big orgies. You know, that's wicked. And God said, rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. You might as well be stirring a cauldron and saying, bubble, bubble, toil and trouble, and casting spells. That's how God sees it. Well, wait a minute. I'm not that bad of a person. God says, no, you're wicked. And your thoughts are unrighteous. Why? They're not mine. They're not lining up with me. But he said, here's my deal. If you'll seek me, you'll find me. Yeah. He said, I'm right there. I like Andy Griffith's version of Romeo. And he said, Julie says, Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo? And he pops up, so I'm right here. You know? And that's what God's, I'm right here. Oh, God, I need to talk to you. I'm right here. But this is what I want you to do. So, Jesus said, ask, and you'll be given to you. Seek, and you'll find it. Knock, and it will be opened. Well, is that true? Yeah. Does the truth change? Nope. Never changes. Truth changes stuff around it. The truth doesn't change. So, if Jesus said it, then I can bank on that. No wonder it says in Hebrews that we Christians can go into the throne room of grace boldly anytime we need to. See, under the first covenant, only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies once a year, and he better have blood when he went in there. He would stick his arm through that screen with that censer, and he'd lay down a big old cloud of incense. He'd pull that out, and then he'd take the goat or the lamb's blood, and he'd step in there. And you know, I see him like this, and he'd sprinkle that blood on the altar, said first for his sins, then for the sins of the people. You know, he had bells on the hem of his garment. You know why? They tied a rope around his waist, because if they heard the bells quit jingling, they'd give the rope a little tug. And if the bells weren't jingling, they'd start pulling him out because he died. You know, it was that serious to go into the Holy of Holies under that dispensation. You better be the high priest. You better have blood for your sins and blood for the sins of the people, or God would strike you dead. Look at the dispensationalist. You know what I said. Look at the covenant. Yeah. Look at the covenant we're in now, though. The scriptures say I, Rick Johnson, can go into the throne room of God's grace boldly, not timidly. Well, God, you know, I'm not worthy. And you're probably going to say no. You ever have your kid do that? Come and say, I know you're going to say no. Then what are you asking me for? I used to wait till they get out. You're right. No. See? Was that so hard? You know, I hated that. You're probably going to say no. Well, let's just right here. I'll just say no. You didn't hear what I was going to ask. I don't need to. You don't think I'm going to say yes, so it's probably something I won't say yes to. And we do that. The Lord would come in here and, God, I'm not worthy. Well, I know that. You know, who are you talking to, man? I know how unworthy you are, but I know I love you. I know you set this to your seal that I'm true by receiving my Son, Jesus Christ. So what do you need? Come to the throne room, God goes, what do you need? Well, Lord, you said if I ask, I'd receive. Yes, I did. What do you need? Need. Jesus said he knows what we need before we ask him. Well, he knows what we want, but what we want and what we need is not always good. You understand that? He said, how will he'll also give us good things. I like to look at that as God things, you know. There were times when you raised children, they had to have something. They were going to die if they didn't have it. Everybody was going to talk about them, and mom or dad would say no. Oh, please, I need this. No, you want that, but you don't need that. I'm your parent. I'm supposed to be protecting you and raising you, and I'm saying you don't need it. And our Heavenly Father is the same way. Do you notice Jesus said, your Father, how much more will your Father? Oh, wow. He's my Father. He's your Father. That makes us kin. Newsflash, you can pick your friends, but you're stuck with your kin. So you might as well learn to get along. Yeah. And Jesus said, you who are evil, if your kid asked for a loaf of bread, he said, you don't give him a rock. I'm beginning to wonder nowadays. He said, if he asks for a fish, you don't give him a snake. He said, you're evil. Thank you. But this, he said, you're evil, basically. What does that mean, evil, basically? I'm self-centered. Basically, I'm looking out for me, you know. And he said, if somebody as egocentric as you can turn around and give good things to your kids because of your natural affection, you know, the Bible said in the last days people will be without natural affection. And I think that's why all these mamas are killing their babies and these parents. I just think of that scripture when I see it on TV. But Jesus said, if we know, if in our natural affections, we want to give our children good things, he said, how much more do you think your Father in heaven, who's not evil, wants to give you good? Do you know that when God saved us, it didn't end there? And there's too many church people, they think it does. Well, I got baptized last Sunday into Christ. I prayed for Jesus to be my Savior. Whew, I'm glad all that's over. It ain't over, Bubba or Bubette. It's just beginning, you know. That's the beginning of it. Why is Jesus talking about seeking, asking, and knocking? Because he's saying, you're going to need this, guys. It impressed me that one day Jesus' disciples came to him and they said, teach us how to pray. How come they didn't say, teach us how to preach? You know, teach us how to do this very miraculous stuff. Because they saw the relationship that he had with the Father in his prayer. Very often they'd go looking for him. You know what they'd find? They'd find him praying somewhere. Yeah. They say he got up a great while before dawn one morning, and he was praying, and his apostles came and said, everybody's looking for you. You know, Jesus, we've been looking for you for an hour. Jesus said, it's time to go. There's other towns I got to preach in. How did he know that? Was that a spur-of-the-moment decision? No, the Father told him while he's praying, all right, son, I want you to go over here. Yeah, but God doesn't talk to me like that. Maybe he does and you don't listen. You know, that's very possible. So, he says, seek, pray, knock, ask. And again, there's an urgency in that. According to the commentaries I read on the Greek, there's an urgency in our pleas. Do you ever get them real urgent King James prayers? I call them King James prayers. When everything's going wrong and you hit the floor in the hallway and slide all the way to the bedroom and go, oh God, what art thou doing? You know, I needeth, this is Goddess. And we think that if we speaketh like that, that Goddess says, hey, I got to answer that. You know, no. But we get serious, don't we? Sometimes when you pray, do you cry? You ever cried when you was praying? You know, God doesn't ignore that. That's the intensity Jesus is talking about. He doesn't mean you got to turn on the tears every time you talk to God. But he says you need to be sincere. I had something else I wanted to share with you. I picked a few scriptures where the Lord's talking about prayer. All right, Luke 11:9, he says, and I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Well, you just read that. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. No, because I asked for this and I didn't get it. You ever do that? Yeah. You ever had one of your kids hint around 3 months before Christmas, you know, that they want this Daisy BB gun? Boys, especially, I want a Daisy BB gun. And you know the first thing he'll do is go out and shoot the neighbor's dog. So you don't buy him one, and he's all built up and all pumped up, and on Christmas Day, he doesn't get a Daisy BB gun. And you can see the disappointment in his eyes. And as a parent, you think, you know, sorry, man, but I know you. Mom, you say, you won't be happy till you put somebody's eye out. She was right. I've never put anybody's eye out, and I'm kind of unhappy. But she knew what she's talking about. Okay. Dad made me a slingshot one time. Don't kill birds. Don't shoot at people. He come home from work one day, and I had a neighbor boy pinned up under the porch, and I was pelting him with pebbles. Woo! Just having a blast. And he was a-bawling. And I thought it was funny until Dad, I realized Dad was behind me. Then it wasn't funny anymore. It's like, oh, dear Lord. You know, that's how we are. He gave me the slingshot so I could shoot at tin cans and stuff and occupy myself. But he gave some conditions with it, didn't he? Don't shoot at songbirds and don't shoot at people. Jesus said in Luke records it this way, everyone who asks receives, everyone who knocks will find, everyone who knocks the door will open, everyone who seeks will find. This is how he says this. If you know how to give good to your children, how much more will God give you the Holy Spirit? Do you need the Holy Spirit? You better have the Holy Spirit. Now, that's an example of praying in His will. People today will go, well, yeah, it's God's will that everybody be healed. We just believe that and we confess it out of our mouths and we confess all the scriptures we can find about God healing people. Well, wait a minute. Jesus went to Solomon's colonnade one day and it said there was a multitude of sick folk lying there and he walked up to one guy and said, do you want to get well? How come the guy who could heal anything didn't just walk around that porch healing all those people? I don't know. I'm not God. How come the one famous for compassion didn't say, I can't stand this, and just started healing people? He walked up to one guy out of the whole crowd. So see, he doesn't always, it's not always his will to heal. Jesus here in Luke, this is an example of praying in God's will. He told his apostles, he said, it's good for you that I go away, because when I go away, I'll ask the Father and he'll give you another comforter. Who's that? The Holy Spirit. So Jesus said here to his people, do you know God will give you the Holy Spirit if you ask? What are the conditions? Well, you need to be a Christian. You need to be saved, because he's not going to give his Spirit to an unbeliever. What would you do with him? You wouldn't like him. Because he would start explaining the Word of God to you. He would start helping you to understand what God's will may be or is in your life. And sometimes you don't like that. I have trouble with it still. I've been a Christian 34 years. And sometimes when God lays something on my heart, I say, oh, you know, God. But I'll tell you what, there's hardly a day goes by that I don't ask for His Spirit. In this section where Jesus is talking about prayer, he's been telling them, don't judge people, don't be critical. You can judge your fruit, but don't be critical of the people. Don't do your good deeds to be seen by men. You need to be poor in spirit. Blessed are you when you're persecuted for my sake. And then what's he say? If you need something, ask. If you need to be able to stand up under persecution, ask. I read about one of the martyrs who was going to be burned at the stake. And the other Christians asked him, could you give us a sign to let us know that God's given you the grace to die? That's a terrible death. You're burned alive. And he said, they said, would you hold a hand up? And he sang. As the flames come up around him, he sang hymns. And when the ropes burned off, it said the Christians looked through the flames and they saw two hands on fire sticking up. Jesus said, do you need that kind of grace? Ask. And you will get it. Because he's your Father. He's saying, do you need His Spirit? Ask. Now, let's jump over here to James for a minute. Y'all go, I know I'm preaching to the choir. You go, okay, I know where this is going. I'm going to get my glasses back on. James 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generally to all without reproach, and it might be given to you. Huh? That's not what it say. It will be. This is one of the first scriptures I read when I came to Christ, when I started reading the Bible. And man, I read that, and it was a study, a King James Study Bible, so you know they got the footnotes, and it said, without reproach, it said, without fault finding. Boy, I had a lot of faults, you know. And I'm a new Christian, I'm a baby Christian, and I'm reading this Word, and I want to know the Word. Because I believe it's His Word. You know, I'm just silly enough to believe this is God's inerrant Word. And I read that and I said, boy, God, if anybody needs wisdom, I need it. And then I said, thank you for hearing my prayer. Well, isn't that a little presumptuous? You know, did you get a feeling? A lightning bolt, you know. That's what we want. Could you confirm this somehow, Lord, by touching me or, you know, cause an electrical bolt to go through me. I was at a revival meeting, and this Pentecostal preacher was preaching, and he said, I was at a tent meeting, and we'd had a foot washing, we's wet, the grass was wet, there wasn't any floor in it. And he said, this brother come forward and said, would you pray for me to receive the Holy Spirit? I just said, why don't you pray? Jesus said if you'd ask, God would give it to you, but this helps this brother's faith. He said, I said, sure. And he said, earlier I got close to the mic and it bit me in the lips. Pew, you know. So he said, there must have been a shortage. He said, man, I wasn't thinking. I put my hand on his head and I grabbed the microphone so everybody could hear me. And he goes, in the name of Jesus. And he said, that went pew through him. He said, oh boy, man, wah! And started running circles around the tent. I got him, praise God, I got the Holy Spirit. He said, I'd like to never chase him down. I said, wait a minute, brother, that was an electrical shock. But he made fun of the Pentecost. He said, aren't we that way? Don't we expect big things when we go to God? One of my favorite testimonies is Elijah's. God answered his prayer. Fire came down and ate his sacrifice. Elijah told them people, you get them false prophets and you kill every one of them. And they did. And then the queen goes, the gods do so more to me if I don't have your head by this time tomorrow. And he leaves. He runs away and he goes out in the wilderness and he said, it's enough, God, let me die. I'm the only prophet left. I'm the only one serving you, and they're going to kill me eventually anyway. Let me die. And God didn't. He fed him two meals, and he went 40 days to Mount Sinai where the law was given. It's also called Horeb. And I love this. The Lord said, Elijah, get ready. I'm about to pass by. And it said this fire passed by, but he wasn't in it. And he said, then an earthquake. But God wasn't in the earthquake. Then there was a strong wind that it broke the rocks. It was windy yesterday, but I've never seen a wind break rocks. That's windy. That's like an F-10 tornado probably. You hear what I'm saying? And it said, but the Lord wasn't in that. Now here's a prophet that was used to saying, God, fire, you know. Said, then he heard a still, small whisper. And he took his cloak and he wrapped his face up. And he stepped out. Why? Because that was God. And you don't look at God's face. I'm telling you, the impression through the Holy Spirit on Elijah was, here I am, Elijah. Real low voice. Elijah went, whoa, that's God. Jesus said, a wicked and adulterous generation seek for signs. We need to be careful, church. Thinking that I have to feel a certain way. Do you know, church, there's days as a Christian you feel like, God, what in the world are you doing? Or where are you at? The trials you're in are so heavy, you feel like it's going to crush the life out of you. Paul felt that way. He talked about, he said, we even despaired of living, you know, in our missionary circuit. He said, we already had the death sentence in ourselves. We said, well, if we're going to die, we're going to die. But what God say? Yeah, no, it's not time for you to die. Well, I feel like it. It doesn't matter how you feel. I'm saying this not time. You know when I'm going to die? When God tells me it's time. Yeah. So James says, if you lack wisdom, wisdom for what? He's talking about in trials. Or if you've got decisions you need to make, ask God and He won't fault find you. And He will give it if you believe. He said, if you don't believe, you're double-minded. And He said, God's not going to answer your prayer. Well, there's that faith stuff again. Well, the Scriptures say that if we come to God, we must believe that He is and He rewards those who diligently seek Him. Not in passing, diligently. You know what, Christian? The closer you get to God, the more you ought to see your need for Him. The more dependent you need to become of Him. Man, this is a wicked world we're in. Nasty wicked. Nasty wicked. I saw a picture on one of my aunt's Facebook posts the other day. Young woman that took menstrual blood and rubbed it all over her face and chest to show the beauty of it. And my aunt said, what in the world is this world coming to? I thought, well, they do that in some of the witchcraft ceremonies and in Satanism. They use it for communion. They mix it with wine. Now, I looked at that and I saw pagan. But I saw somebody that needed Jesus Christ. Yeah. If I pray for the lost, will He hear me? How do I know? He said, I'm not willing that anyone should perish. See, that's praying in His will. John said, we have this assurance that if we ask Him anything according to His will, He hears us. So it's important that we pray in faith, and it's important that we pray in His will. Well, how do I know His will? This book's full of it. I agree with the Pentecost about praying the Word. There's nothing wrong with that. When I pray for my lost loved ones, my prayer generally is, you're not willing that anyone should perish. Yeah. And that means my sons and daughters and grandkids, you don't want them to perish. So I'm asking you to work on them. Boy, God can work on you too. I found out after I came to Christ, there were people praying for me for a long time. Now I can look back and see it. Yeah. Well, what if I pray for something I want and God says no? Then He's saying, you don't need that. That'll be harmful. I've told the Lord before, you know, I wouldn't mind being rich for about a year just to try it out, but His Bible says that riches choke people. Jesus said, how hardly will the rich enter the kingdom of heaven? Is He against rich people? No, He's not against them. He's against that stuff having you. Okay? And that's a danger. I joke all the time about praying for a Harley. You know, I got a Harley. Is it because God said it was His will? Well, not necessarily. But I can use it for His will. I joined the CMA, Christian Motorcycle Association, so I can use that Harley to minister to other bikers. I got it all figured out. Yeah. Thank you. But if I go minister to these bikers, can I pray for them? Yeah. Will God hear me? Mm-hmm. There's one bug in the mix, so free will. They can go, no, I don't want to hear it. I remember times I was in jail and them Jesus freaks would come and want to share Jesus. You didn't have anywhere to go. You was a captive audience, you know. And I'd try to shut it off. And I remember one time one guy said, Can I pray for you? And he stuck his hands through the bars, you know. Can I pray for you? Tried to get a hold of my shirt. I said, no. I don't want you praying for me. I'm tough, man. Don't pray for me. And this alcoholic, they had him in there drying out. Boy, he was having DDTs and the whole nine yards, you know. Wake up in the middle of the night going, ah! People do that in jail. That freaks you out. Who's screaming and why, you know? And he said, yeah, I'd like to be prayed with. So I moved away. I didn't want any of the overflow to get me. I'm serious. And I can remember the conviction I was under while he's praying. Oh, man. Man, I could sense the Spirit of God saying, why not now? Why not now? Today's the day of salvation. Leave me alone, man. Leave me alone, Lord. Lord, just shut up. That's dangerous. Yeah. But there were people praying. I figured out when I couldn't leave the house and go to the store without running into some Jesus freak. I'm not talking about somebody who just went to church. I'm talking about somebody that was in love with Jesus. They go, hey, Rick, have you heard about the love of Jesus Christ? Yes, and I don't want to hear it now. Well, let me tell you about it. Are you deaf? I said, no, I don't want to hear about it. But they still wanted to tell me, and I finally figured, well, just let them talk for a few minutes, and they'll shut up. But you know what was happening every time that was happening? My defenses were wearing down and down. And Mama and others were going, oh, God, please get a hold of Rick. And he said, I'm working on it, ladies. Yeah. Well, how do I know it's his will? The Word. John said if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. So if you're praying for a 90-foot yacht, you know, I'm not going to guarantee you that God's going to hear that prayer. Unless for some reason he wants you to have one. If you love the world, the love of the Father isn't in you. Okay? And sometimes it saddens me, and I've done it, where we pray to God about these physical things. You know, we just got to have them, and the Lord's going, you know, I can see your heart, and that's not what you need. You need a touch from me. Are you praying for this church? I hope so. I am. I'm praying, Lord, let revival break out. Let's start here in the pulpit. Let revival break out. Should we pray for the lost? We're commanded to, yeah. We're supposed to pray for them. Be careful, though, because sometimes when you're praying for somebody, God will bring you and that person together, and he'll throw the door wide open and say, okay. Well, I'm not good at speaking to people, Lord. I just pray. Well, no, here you are. What do I say? I gave you your tongue. Remember what Jesus said? It'll be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Jesus taught his disciples the importance of prayer to the point that they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Because, man, you pray, things get done. John chapter 17, I'm going to close with this. It's a prayer. The whole chapter, just about the whole chapter is Jesus praying. And he said, I have made you known to these guys, these men that you've given me, and I will continue to make you known. So is it a scriptural prayer if I pray and say, God, I want to get closer to you? Lord Jesus, you said you'd reveal him to me. Would you? Very. Do you ever pray like that? Don't answer it out loud. Just think about it. Are you comfortable where you're at as a Christian? If you are, shame on you. You shouldn't be. Now, I'm not saying comfortable in your salvation. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying, do you know that there are still things you need spiritually? You got attitudes that God needs to help you with. Maybe secret sin, Christian. Sometimes we hide sin. David said, if I hide sin, God won't hear me. I read that to you in Isaiah. God said, seek me while I'm near, call on me. But forsake your wicked ways, and the unrighteous man is not. He was talking to his people. You know, he's not talking to a bunch of pagans. He was talking to his people. And sometimes I think some of the first things we need to pray is, forgive me. You know. Holy Spirit's good about bringing stuff up like that when you're praying. Jesus said, when I pray for forgiveness, I should have already forgiven people that's wronged me. Because the prayer goes, forgive me just like I forgive others. That's not a real good prayer sometimes for me, because I can hold grudges. I wonder if we really started praying that way, if we might become a little more forgiving, or we'd stop praying. Well, if you're going to be that way about it, God, I'm not going to forgive this person. It's very important, church, that we pray. In Jim Cimbala's book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, he took a church that his father-in-law was preaching at. He didn't want it. They had 11 people in the church, and one of them was stealing out of the collection plate when they take up the offerings, you know. And he said, he went to preach one night, and he said, man, God just come on me so heavy, so I began to weep. And I asked these people, are you wanting this church to stay, to remain a church? And they said, yeah. And he said, we need to pray. They started praying. The guy that was stealing out of the collection plate stood up before the others and said, I've been stealing money out of the collection plate. And they said, we forgive you. And then that church started growing. It had some internal things that God said, we got to take care of this first. And it works here too. Yeah. We've been through some trials, church, as a church. But the good news is, it's time for God's healing to begin here and His restoration. That's something I'm praying for. We're kind of scarred up, some of us, battle scarred, and you know, a little wiser, hopefully. And I've been asking God, heal us. Would you stand with me? Do you think He'll answer that prayer? I do too. Then I want you to start praying with me and agreeing with me. Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock, and you will find. You will receive. Well, if He said it, then it must be true. Amen. Prayer, church, is where the hardest and biggest battles in the church are fought. And that's when we're the strongest, is when we're on our knees or sitting in our armchair or driving to Springfield and we're talking to our Heavenly Father. The devil doesn't like that. He tries to interfere with that as much as he can, get things in our way so we don't pray. It's important to set aside time in a day and say, God, this is our time. I'm going to shut off my cell phone. This is the time that you and I talk. Oh, what a blessing that is. As we sing our song of invitation, just ask yourself, you know, am I surrendered? Am I totally surrendered as a Christian? And the Holy Spirit will tell you whether you are or not, or if there's things in your life you need to work on. Do what God says in His Word. He said, today. Take care of it today. You can take care of it before you ever walk out of here. Just you and your Father talking, getting things worked out. Go ahead and sing your song of invitation.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. Why?
my friend Danae, her mom's 85, and the doctors believe she may have cervical cancer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege and the opportunity of surrounding the table and remembering the great price that was paid to redeem us. And Lord, as we heard this message this morning, help us to understand that when you make a promise to us, you will keep it. And if we pray to you fervently, you will answer. And I just pray, Lord, that this church will get on their knees and come closer to you. You promised us, Lord, if we'd get close to you, you'd get close to us. And Lord, we just ask for forgiveness. We ask for your blessings and your love. Thank you for everyone that is here today, and we pray a blessing on them. I pray a blessing on those who can't be here. Help us all to love you more and serve you better. Guide, guard, and protect us as we go our separate ways. In Christ I pray. Amen.
Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is he. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is he. Lift up your banner, let the anthems ring. Praises to our King. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is he.